You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast.
So, the D-Day is almost here. Come March 10th and we'll know which party or alliance is going to form the next government in Punjab, Uttar Pradesh, Uttarakhand, Goa and Manipur. And whether or not, exit polls gave us an accurate picture. Meanwhile, on the global front, Ukraine has declared a ceasefire on the evacuation route. But will Russia honor it? Stay tuned to find out. Welcome to CNBCTV18.com. You are listening to the Top News Podcast and this is your host, Kanishka Sarkar. I'm back here with the latest on stock markets, commodities, the pandemic, the ongoing geopolitical tensions, elections and more. First up, here's how the market fared on March 9th. The market extended gains to the second day today. Financial, IT and oil and gas shares were the biggest contributors to the gains. Investors globally returned to stocks, hammered in the recent sell-off, though geopolitical uncertainty, having its roots in the Russia-Ukraine war, remained in focus. Sensex ended 1,223 points higher at 54,640, whereas the broader Nifty settled at 16,345, which is up 330 points from its previous close. Asian Paints, Reliance Industries, Bajaj Finance, IndusInd Bank, Mahindra & Mahindra, Bajaj Finserv, and Tata Motors were among the top gainers. Aviation stocks were also in focus today as the government lifted ban on overseas flights. Shares of Interglobe Aviation, that is IndiGo's parent company, SpiceJet and Jet Airways surged up to 8% in intraday trade after the government announced the resumption of international flights from March 27. This move is intended to improve international capacity while also lowering airfares, which have been rising owing to increase in demand and higher crude oil prices. Here's an update on the LIC IPO. So, with the Russia-Ukraine war and its ensuing impact on global financial markets, including India, all eyes are now on the LIC IPO. The geopolitical tension has led to some uncertainty about the launch timeline, as government officials and investment bankers believe March may not be the best time for LIC IPO's launch. Sources claim that the IPO may see light of the day in April. Government is constantly watching the ever-evolving market situation, and it is expected to take a call on the red herring prospectus accordingly. While we're talking of IPOs, India had a stellar year in terms of IPOs last year, that is 2021. But this year, companies have stalled their plans for new share sales, with markets having been routed following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The market situation remains pessimistic. Over 77,000 crore rupees will not be raised by as many as 51 companies, according to data from capital market researcher Prime Data. On the commodities front, Standard Chartered Bank is of the view that oil may hit $150 to $200 per barrel if the Ukraine situation worsens. It has also revised inflation estimate at 6.5% from 5.5% earlier. Meanwhile, zinc prices are also at a 16-year high and have nudged above $4,200 per ton. The all-time high for the metal is $4,600. Next up, let me tell you more about the Russia-Ukraine crisis. Ukrainian President Zelensky has said that the international community would be responsible for a mass humanitarian catastrophe if it does not agree to a no-fly zone and warned that the country is at a maximum threat level. Ukraine's state power operator says that Russian forces have disconnected the nuclear power plant from the grid. Meanwhile, Kyiv authorities hope to evacuate more people from Irpin, Bucha and Hostomel. EU member states have agreed new sanctions against Russian leaders and oligarchs over its invasion of Ukraine, according to a Reuters report. The Russian Foreign Ministry, on the other hand, has claimed that its goals in Ukraine would be better achieved through talks, and that it does not plan to overthrow the country's government. It said about 1,40,000 Ukrainians have fled to Russia and that its actions in Ukraine are strictly following its plan. US has banned oil and other energy imports from Russia. The move is aimed at stepping up international pressure on Putin to halt his assault on Ukraine. Britain too said that it will phase out imports by the year end. However, the European Union did not join the bandwagon due to its heavy dependence on Russian oil and gas supplies. In an interview with CNBC TV 18, Josep Borrell, who's the High Representative of the European Union and Vice President of EU Commission, confirmed that the EU will not impose a ban on Russian oil and gas because of its heavy dependence. He also explained that the import of Russian oil forms a small part of the US and the country almost doesn't need it, but that's not the case for EU as Russia is a big supplier of energy over there. Next up, Better.com, which earlier made headlines in December for firing 900 employees over a Zoom call, has again today announced that it's laying off 3,000 more employees. It is reducing its workforce both in US and India in a substantial way. Better.com's interim president, Kevin Ryan, said the layoffs were prompted by a dramatic drop in origination volume due to rising interest rates. Moving on to what to look forward to in the assembly election results tomorrow. With exit polls predicting it to win the Manipur assembly elections, a confident BJP is looking forward to counting her votes tomorrow, even as a hopeful Congress looks to prevent its rival from returning to power in the state. While the two major parties are expected to be main protagonists as the political drama unfolds, others like the National People's Party, Naga People's Front, and JDU could also play a crucial role in the event of a mixed result with no single party securing a majority. Meanwhile, for the last 35 years, Uttar Pradesh, arguably the most significant state politically, has not allowed two consecutive terms in office to any political party. However, the recently released exit poll suggests that the Yogi Adityanath-led BJP government in UP may buck the trend. According to almost all surveys, BJP is likely to sweep the state, albeit with a reduced majority in comparison to 2017, when the Saffron Party secured 312 out of 403 assembly seats. This time, it contested the elections in an alliance with Apnadal and Nishad Party. Nonetheless, the Akhilesh Yadav-led Samajwadi Party, which has emerged as the primary challenger in the state, is far from losing the battle. Another battle that will be keenly watched is that of Punjab. The Punjab assembly election this year has had several strong contenders, including incumbent Congress and Arvind Kejriwal's Aam Aadmi Party. The BJP alliance with former Punjab Chief Minister Captain Amarinder Singh's Punjab Lok Congress, that is PLC, and Sukhdev Singh Dhinsa's SAD Sanyuk, besides Shrimani Akali Dal, joining hands with Mayawati's Bahujan Samaj Party, that is BSP, ensured a multi-cornered contest in the border state. Lastly, here's a development on the pandemic front. An expert group convened by the WHO, that is World Health Organization, said that it strongly supports urgent and broad access to booster doses. This is in a reversal of the UN agency's previous insistence that boosters weren't necessary and contributed to vaccine inequity. In a statement, WHO said that its experts group concluded that immunization with authorized COVID vaccines provide high level of protection against severe disease and death amid global circulation of hugely contagious Omicron variant. It said vaccination, including the use of boosters, was especially important for people at risk of severe disease. With that, we end this podcast. But before I sign out, here's an opportunity where we will listen to you. In case you have any queries or suggestions, please do write to us on CNBC TV 18 podcast at nw18.com. I'll be back tomorrow evening with the top stories from around the world. Till then, stay tuned to CNBC TV 18.com for all the latest updates. Thank you for listening.